The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? This is Hoop Ball Grizz. I'm your host, David Williams. Joined. I don't know. Do you need an introduction anymore?
Nope. Sure don't. Everybody should know. But I wasn't supposed to be here. You were supposed to do a solo.
That's right. It was supposed to be solo. We had some stuff happen. Sam had to miss the game.
Such
tonight.
A sad, sad story, because we were just talking about this. Every time that I don't go, Jonas does Super Fantabulous. Sam Brewski, by the way, if y'all didn't know.
He gets to miss JV blowing up and then shoot himself in the foot because he would have got to see a monster game from JV.
Well, I couldn't go, so.
It is what it is, man. We will be there Friday.
Yep. JV will do awful.
Yep, he'll have 3 points, 1 rebound, 14 fouls in 12 minutes.
Actually, the last time they played the Jazz, he did really, really good. And Jonas got me on TV. We found that out today.
Yeah, on the
today's been a good day.
On the highlight
me
video,
not going. Yep.
Well, it wasn't clear, but yeah. So you're semi-famous. Made the highlight
because Jonas.
Reel.
Yep.
It was kind of interesting. We were watching the highlights, and there's a highlight.
Dunks on Gobert. It's right when he dunks on Gobert, and you see right in the left-hand corner, you see me and your son, Nehemiah. But, I mean, you have to know who we are to notice. But I was like, oh, my God, we're on TV. And I was like, rewind it. And we rewound it, and lo and behold, there it was.
15 minutes of fame or whatever it is.
It was neat.
He's got it. Sam's got it right there.
Jonas got me on TV. I don't care.
Yeah. No, it was a good game tonight. Even in the loss, the Grizzlies played well. They took another playoff team to the wire and just couldn't finish them off. The Grizzlies had a 10-point lead and watched it evaporate. Clippers end up winning the game 121-119. The last defensive series for the Grizzlies, they played it pretty well, but they allowed 2 offensive rebounds.
There it was.
You can't. You've got to get a body on somebody. And they were actually – they had a body on Montrezl Harrell when he tipped that in. But the first rebound for the Clippers never should have happened.
Nope.
The Grizzlies should have had that rebound, timeout called, X amount of time on the clock with a chance to win the game with it being tied. And they just didn't get a body on. Clippers pull down the offensive rebound, reset.
It was there we go. Trash.
Taking the L.
Trash.
Oh, there were a number of different things throughout the game that I picked up on where the Grizzlies were just, you know, there were a number of errant passes in the game. There were, I know, 3 in the first half. Brandon Clark had one. Jay Crowder had one. And the other one may have been Goodrich. I'm not sure who the third one was, but there were 3 in the first half where they were advancing the ball up the floor and they just airmailed it. I mean, Valanciunas is 7 foot tall. It was 7 foot over his head.
Yep.
They have to take better care of the ball. That's something the Grizzlies have been turning the ball over at a pretty high rate lately.
I was about to say, that seems to be a common thing.
Yeah, they have to start taking better. They had 20 turnovers tonight, and I didn't get the ratio like points off of turnovers, but doesn't matter. You can't turn the ball over that many times in the game. The only really rough quarter, they didn't have their, I guess, I don't want to call it signature because that seems kind of grim.
Signature third quarter?
Their signature bad quarter. You know, they've had a lot of times in games this year, the Grizzlies have had one quarter where they just fell flat on their face, and they really didn't. The Clippers outscored them by 4 in the first, and then they tied the second and third, and then the Grizzlies actually outscored the Clippers in the fourth. So it was back and forth. It was a close game. Of course, the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard, and that's a that's a big difference. You know, I'm gonna go into that.
I was hoping
this
you would,
this
I
load
want you
management
to.
Stuff pisses me off, man.
Woo.
So the Clippers only play one game in Memphis this year, and Kawhi Leonard sets it out. I'm a Grizzlies fan. I don't give a crap if Kawhi Leonard's playing or not. Would I like to see him play? Sure, I would love to see him play, but I guarantee you that there are people that were at that game tonight that bought tickets in hopes to watch Kawhi Leonard play, and he didn't play.
Paid to see him.
Here's the – I don't have a problem with NBA players trying to stay healthy. I don't have a problem with Kawhi Leonard managing his load. What I do have a problem with is the way that they're doing it. You can't you get the schedule. It releases to the public in August. I don't know if the teams get it before then or not. I'm not 100% sure. But they release it in August. You can look at that schedule and be like, okay, I only go to these cities one time this year. I'm not going to do my load management on those nights. They played the Mavericks last night in Dallas. They're playing the Mavericks again in Dallas later in the year. So why not set in the Dallas game and then play in this one? Obviously, they didn't need him. Dallas is a better team than the Grizzlies this year, so maybe that is something that is considered. I'm certain that is something that's considered in determining whether he's going to sit out or not. I feel like the league has got to – they have the fines where if you're sitting without an injury, but it's not really policed all that well. I don't have a solution. I don't have an answer to to fix the big problem. I can't stand the fact that the Clippers are here one time this year. Their star player didn't play. Mm-hmm. He just didn't. He sets out. Star player, it's just Memphis. I'm not going to play. Westbrook didn't play in the Rockets, when the Rockets came to town. Kawhi Leonard didn't play when the Clippers came to town, which the Rockets come back. Westbrook's probably going to play in the next game.
I don't see why he wouldn't.
But why? Why can't you look at the schedule and make adjustments?
The way I look at it is adjustments. If, with him only coming to Memphis one time, I said this earlier, actually, why not, okay, you play your game in Dallas. Mm-hmm. You do your thing there. Well, people do pay to see you, so yeah. Why don't you play 15 minutes tonight instead of like your usual 30 plus, however long? Not even 15. Let's say 10. At least get out there, dribble the ball a little bit, show off for the fans, show them that you play basketball. Woo whoopity doo! You sit down, you're done for the night. Because when I went to see Kobe Bryant a few years ago, it was his second to last game in Oklahoma City. Kobe was gonna play for the fans. He didn't miss. I think he missed maybe two or three games that year, and it was games that he was coming back to, because this was his second to last game. He didn't have to play this, but he did. He played, I think he played 13 minutes, I believe.
Sure.
And, that was good enough for me. I drove all the way to Oklahoma City to see him. Yeah. I sure did. And that 13 minutes was the greatest 13 minutes ever.
Got to see Kobe for 13 minutes.
I believe it was 13. It was something like that. It wasn't much, but it was well worth it.
There's something that you can do. There has to be something else that they can do.
At least come out and sign autographs, because he probably didn't do that.
I don't know whether, we don't get to see that on TV, so I'm not just sure saying, if he signed or not. But
I don't even think he was there, was he? I didn't see him.
I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to the bench.
Well, I tried to look. I didn't see him.
Yeah. There just has to be... There has to be a way that the teams, the players, the league can work something out where the players can have load management if that's what they want to do and still let the fans see who they want to see. I don't know.
I'll agree.
I think your suggestion is probably...
Well, that's what they should do.
So, something like that. So, obviously, against... better teams, against a team like the Mavericks. The Mavericks are in the West. They're going to be a playoff team. I understand him wanting to play more minutes against the Mavericks or wanting to play in the Mavericks game as opposed to a young rebuilding Grizzlies team where clearly the Clippers didn't need him to beat the Grizzlies. If he had played, maybe the gap would have been a little bit wider. It wouldn't have been as close. But
yeah.
I understand why he would want to play in the Mavericks game as opposed to the Grizzlies game. Just as a fan, I want to see the big guys play. I want to see the superstars play. I think that's one of the things for the NBA, the recognition. A football player can, a lot of football players can just walk down the street and you're not going to know them because they're wearing helmets. You know, the a lot of, maybe not star, like your big star football players, the quarterbacks, running backs, your skill position guys, but there's a lot of guys that play defense and a lot of linemen that can just walk down the street and you wouldn't know them. And in the NBA, the recognition that you, the names, the faces, that's why the NBA is so big, because they're so recognizable. And that's it. I spend my money to watch the game. I want to see the stars play.
That's right.
If it's a legitimate injury, if something's seriously wrong, I don't want him to risk his entire career because I paid my money and I deserve to see him play. It's not an entitlement thing. I just want to see them manage it a little bit better. And I think there are, if they sit down and really talk about it, there's some great minds in this business that can come up with a plan, design a plan that will be good for all the sides.
Absolutely. Here's another one. You know, later this year, we're going to go see the Pistons, and Blake plays the Nuggets on Sunday, and then they play the Grizzlies on Monday. So that kind of scares me because he's on that load management stuff too. He doesn't play back-to-backs, kind of like Kawhi, not bashing anybody. I'm just saying they've rested every back-to-back. They've rested Blake, so that kind of scares me because that's why we're going. So
being an Eastern Conference team, they only play the Grizzlies at home once.
Mm-hmm.
We may not get to see Blake Griffin play. Hopefully we will next year. Maybe he'll play this year. I hope that he plays this year.
He played the Grizzlies last year, so hopefully we get a repeat.
All right, we'll get away from that. We'll go back to the game. Again, the final score of the game was Clippers 121, Grizzlies 119. Had a really good offensive night tonight. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys done very well. Jay Crowder had 20. He had 20 points, 4 rebounds. He had hit 3 threes. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 17, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a block. He shot the ball decent from 3 again. You know, I think he was – well, I say he was like 33%. I think he was like 3 for 9 from three. Yeah,
3 for 9.
And I'm okay with him shooting the ball from three that many times. He's been shooting the ball really, really well from three. Definitely fine with him taking those shots. He had some good looks. Ja Morant didn't have any points in the first half. Had a very, very strong second half. Really, honest, down the stretch, he carried the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Kept them in this game to make it interesting and gave the Grizzlies a chance to win the game, but just couldn't figure out a way to close the door. That's something that's been the case all year. The Grizzlies have just struggled closing games. Ja Morant is the answer to that, and it will come as he matures as a player. But he showed off against probably the best defensive team in the league. He showed that he can get to the basket. He can impose his will on a game whenever he's ready. The one thing that the Clippers done very, very well, and it wasn't an entire team thing necessarily, but Patrick Beverley there at the end, when Ja would get rid of the ball, when he would cross half court and he would pass it off, he almost never got it back. Because Patrick Beverley was denying him the ball super, super hard. And that's something, when you look at a team and you're like, okay, this is the guy that can't beat me. Well, the Clippers have three guys that they can put in. They're like, okay, who do you want? Do you want Patrick Beverley? Do you want Kawhi Leonard?
You want Paul George?
You know, if you're a wing team, it's just nuts. It's insane the caliber of defensive wings that they have, and that's going to be a nightmare for a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Clark had another decent night. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds, bodied Lou Williams. Just, I mean, I'm not even sure why Lou Williams jumped. He just wanted to be on a poster, I think.
Yeah. killed that man.
Yeah. It was nice. It was very, very mm-hmm. nice. Really enjoyed watching that. There's always good things with this young team. even in the losses, there's a lot of fun stuff to watch. The Brandon Clark, he's got hops for days. Ja Morant, super exciting. Jaren Jackson, we haven't even really talked. You know, we talked a little bit in the beginning about JV, but he was a behemoth tonight.
The bearded behemoth.
Yeah. 30, 16, 3 assists, a steal and a block, filling up the stat sheet.
Jaeger.
Looking good for your fantasy team over there. Huh? Yeah. What was he from the field? He was really efficient.
He shot 12 for 17.
Yeah. Just
he was
had
two
his
for,
way.
Two for three from the 3-point line, too.
The Clippers, as good as they are wing defensively on the wings, they don't have a big man that's going to shut down JV.
Nope.
Harrell is a good today big man. The way that the game is going, the stretch the floor big man, Harrell plays that very well. But if you get an old school guy that can score on the block, Harrell's going to have trouble with it. I don't know much about Zubac to know, but I don't think he's much of a defensive guy.
What I've watched of him with the Lakers and the Clippers now, Giannis was tearing him up.
Yeah, he definitely was not a defensive guy against JV tonight. Yep. JV was having his way with him.
Mm-mm.
He had a really good putback. He had a putback dunk. Ja drove in and missed a layup, and it was the one that he had 21-9. At the time that he had this putback, and it was a big putback, and Sam's over here, and I think I've got a hole in my wall from where he jumped up and kicked my couch
it's
at the same time.
Possible.
He's breaking stuff over here, getting excited over JV. Dylan Brooks struggled tonight. He was 2 for 8 from the field. I tweeted out, and I'll stand by this. He ended up fouling out of this game. But I like his aggression on defense. I like what Dylan Brooks is doing on defense.
Who was he covering? He was all over one dude. He wouldn't let him pass or anything.
Paul George.
Was it George? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in the right. I mentioned him in the Rockets game on Harden. He just there's no back down in him.
Jumping and kicking, and I mean he wasn't having it. You ain't passing it.
I tweeted, I'm like, you heard it here first, Dylan Brooks, future first team all defense guy. And I really honestly believe that. I don't think it's going to be this year. I think he's still got some work to do, but I like his energy on defense. I like how he's just right there. He's in their face. A lot of the stuff that he was doing tonight was stuff that you see when it's time to turn it up. Watch Patrick Beverley. If you go back and you watch a replay at the end of that game, watch how aggressive Beverley was guarding Ja Morant. And you see a lot of the same thing. Like Dylan Brooks, obviously he's not on the level of Patrick Beverley yet. I'm not saying that. But I honest to goodness believe he's going to be a first-time or a first-team all-defensive guy at some point in his career if he keeps working the way that he's working. Don't have much more on tonight's game, guys. We'll go over. We'll be back again. We're going to record probably Saturday. Don't know if we'll get it out Saturday or not. It may be Sunday sometime before it airs. But we will we'll get another cast out Saturday. And we're going to cover next week. The Grizzlies got a big week coming up. They got 4 games. They play the Pacers at home on Monday. And then the rest of their games are on the road. So 3 road games, 1 home game. It's going to be a busy, busy week, 4 games. We'll get, I know 100% for sure, Sunday we can get the T-Wolves post game to you. So we'll get that. You'll probably get 2 pretty quick back-to-back because you'll have the weekend show previewing all of the upcoming games for the week. And then we'll get that T-Wolves post game. And then the rest of the week is just kind of cloudy. It's going to depend on how things go. But if we can get them to you, we will be here. Sam.
Yo.
Jaeger. All right, guys. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at DWill2111. The show is at HoopBallGrizz. That's HoopBallGrizz. Sam, where can we find you, man?
I'm on Twitter as well. It is SammyB1118. That is a capital S, lowercase A-M-M-Y, capital B, 1118.
All right. That's all we got. Until next time.
Go Grizz.
Go Grizz.
Yeah.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.